one more guest to talk to. New Zealand school students, we heard earlier this year, are falling further behind in maths and science knowledge compared with other countries. The latest Trends in International Mathematics and Science study shows we now rank 23rd out of 39 nations surveyed. Even if we're not that fond of maths at school, even if afterwards we forget the algebra and the geometry, do we need to persevere with it anyway? Or similar, for the sake of our brains? A team at Oxford University says yes. In fact, maths is crucial. Why is that, and at what age can we bail from bothering with all those equations? It seems all to do with gamma-aminobutyric acid levels in our brains. There's a new study. Joining us to talk about it is cognitive neuroscience professor at Oxford University, Roy Cohen-Kadosh. Roy, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
A lack of maths education negatively affects the adolescent brain and it disadvantages cognitive development. That's essentially it. I've got a lot of questions to ask around it, but that's essentially it.
Yes, it is, absolutely.
If you stop doing maths at age 16, what happens? A critical chemical for neural development reduces in the brain. How did you ascertain this?
So our brain, in order to develop, requires some chemicals. That one of the most essential chemicals is called GABA. And we can assess, we can quantify the different chemicals in the brain using MRI. In the UK, adolescents at the age of 16 can choose whether they would like to continue and study maths for their final exams at the age of 18, or if they would like to stop studying maths. And what we did, we took those who continuing to study maths and those who stop studying maths, and we scanned their brain. My lab, the expertise of my lab is in mathematical cognition and learning. And we looked on areas that are involved in mathematical learning. And what we found is that in a critical brain region at the front of our brain, there is a reduction in this neurochemical. We can actually guess with a very good accuracy whether someone is continuing to study maths or not, just based on the concentration of this chemical in their brain.
In terms of excluding other factors, students with more GABA in their heads, if you like, were better at solving brain-teasing questions when tested 19 months later. Roy, there must be a lot of factors inputting into brains at that age, but you're sure it's maths making the difference?
So it's a really good question if it is maths or only maths. So in this case, we took people from the same environment, same schools, and we also examine them based on their cognitive abilities. So we equate them for a lot of factors, and still we found these differences. It's very likely that it is the decision to stop studying maths versus continuing studying maths.
Doesn't it make sense that maths per se, Roy, will assist with brain teasers or doing Sudoku or whatever, and that this ability is just a natural consequence of keeping up with maths rather than a crucial cognitive skill? I suppose my question is, does it translate to general, to more general problem solving?
That's a very important question if it is generalized to a more, you know, something beyond maths. There are other studies showing that there are differences between those who studies maths and stop studying maths in terms of their cognitive abilities, primarily more high-level cognitive functions like logic and reasoning that are not necessarily mathematical.
Okay. If I'm listening to you and I'm 16 years of age and I'm thinking, gosh, I need to keep my maths up, how long for? Because, of course, people may want to get reasonably well educated in maths, but not continue until they're 25. So this is a dilemma here, isn't it?
It is more likely that you will have a reduced neurochemical in your brain if you stop studying maths. But we're talking about probability. It doesn't mean 100%. There are other cognitive functions, high-level cognitive functions, that are also important. And it might be that, you know, it will not happen in your case. It just increased the probability. This is what we're doing because we have a group of people. It's not something that we find in every individual. And there are other cognitive functions that are also important. So maths, it is important. I think that we should continue to do that, to study maths, you know, beyond the age of 16, because this is when our brain is still developing. But even if not, I think it's important that people will try to use the brain in a very flexible way. And this is, I think, an abstract way, which is one of the things that maths allows us to do.
Okay. As with the UK, we have generally poor numeracy skills across a large number of young people. So you're not arguing for ramming maths down their throats or down the throats of reluctant high school students. Can I get a bit more opinion out of you on what people can do to level up the cognitive playing field for themselves later on? I mean, a lot of the material used in psychometric testing, which seems to be becoming almost ubiquitous when you apply for jobs, some jobs, can be found online. Would it help for people to regularly give their brains some kind of workout as an alternative to maths per se?
So it's one of the things that we would like to have a better understanding is what can be done instead of maths. Yeah. Because I know that some people really aversive to maths. And to force people to study something that they really hate or feel, you know, they are agonized when they do that, I don't think it's good for them psychologically and, of course, then at the brain level as well. You can think about things like chess or bridge that we still do not have any evidence that it is a good replacement, but I think at the moment, if someone wants to use their brain, I think it allows to have some level of abstract thinking that are involved at some level when we're doing maths.
We're talking with Professor Roy Cohen-Kadosh. You know, from reading your study, have I got this right? It seems it doesn't matter really how adept you are at maths. You don't have to be top of the class. It's the effort going on in the brain that is crucial.
That is a very good question. I don't think that our study showed that, but I think it's something that is very important to examine. I don't have an answer for that at this stage.
Okay, maybe I inferred incorrectly. Can you raise those GABA levels? I suppose you can at any point in life.
Yes, we can increase GABA levels. It's important to say that it's not necessary that GABA levels is good, for example, when you are 40 plus, for example, or later on in your life, because the question is the right amount of GABA at a certain developmental stage.
And this advantage you get, especially earlier on, when you can raise the levels, confers, just to repeat a question I asked earlier, just to get a better sense of it, it confers better reasoning in a lot of life areas. I mean, it won't just help you better calculate what your mortgage is going to be. It will allow you to reason better, assess arguments, assess logic, decide on alternatives when presented with them, that kind of ability.
Yes, it is. It's involved a region in the brain that it is critical for logic, reasoning, planning, high-level cognitive functions, high-level thinking. And I think this is why we were interested in this region.
I wonder if the absence of other specific subjects, maybe science-related, maybe languages even, also impacts the brain and the cognitive development of children and adolescents. I guess at some point people choose forks in the highway and as a result, you know, miss out on something or other.
So I totally agree with you, and we still need to examine that. In this study, we also compare other topics. So, you know, what happened if you stop studying chemistry or biology or history or psychology? And these topics, stopping studying them, did not lead to any differentiation in the chemical in this particular region that we looked at. It might well be that they involve other brain regions because they might involve other types of cognitive functions. So, for example, history might involve more remembering type of text by heart, while maths involve more abstract thinking, spatial abilities, holding things in your memory, a lot of information in your memory while manipulating other types of information.
It's fashionable these days to discuss which superpower you would have if you could. And you ask audiences you talk to what is the one feasible ability they would want to enhance. And they say intelligence, most of all, people would like to be smarter, Roy.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people would like to improve their intelligence. We want to be intelligent. We want to be Einsteins, right? If you could have a lot of people, if they could choose, they want to be smart like Einstein. You hear that from time to time.
And now they can, can't they, with electrical stimulation of the brain, because you pioneered some of this work. And it worked with people who have that maths anxiety you were talking about before.
Yes, so first of all, we cannot make someone smart like Einstein, unfortunately. But with brain stimulation, in some studies, we found that we can improve cognitive functions, we can improve the speed of learning and how long we can retain this information, how focused people can be when they need to concentrate well. And we can also reduce anxiety, in this case, in maths, when people are more anxious. This work also being shown later on to generalize to people that have anxiety, not necessarily in maths, but general anxiety. And it's been used now quite frequently in order to improve some clinical conditions.
But I've heard you say don't try this at home, as it were. There are brain stimulation devices on the market. What is your opinion of them?
So, most of the brain stimulations in the market were not rigorously tested in order to show that they can really support their claims. I would not say all of them. They use, for example, my studies in order to promote their products when we didn't even use such devices. Not all the brains are the same. People have different brains, different cognitive abilities, and the brain works a bit differently. Therefore, to take a device that will give to all of them the same treatment, it's not really a good idea. And we try, like many other labs in the world, to find how we can personalize the type of stimulation that we give to each individual in order to create something much more effective and optimal. And I think this is the future, but there is a lot of work to do there until we will get to this stage.
At what point do you think we will have that personalized, customized kind of brain enhancement? Because it's obviously not just in the realms of science fiction. Will we have it in 5 years, 10 years, 15?
I hope that we will have good enough evidence within 2 to 3 years.
Wow, okay. Can numbers actually crowd out other areas of specialization?
Yes, I think it's something that we a lot of time forget. There is a price for anything that we are doing, right? So, the time, for example, that you're doing your job is taking resources from you of doing other things that you might have wished to do. In my case, for example, something that I need to do for a really long time is to study to speak German, for example. I don't have the time to do that. And it's another ability that is sacrificed in order for me to try to excel, which I hope I am, in what I'm doing.
I feel a little bit better now about dropping maths at 17. Very nice to talk with you, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Professor Roy Cohen-Kadosh, a neuroscience professor at Oxford.